We're holding in Megillah on page two, Ois Gimel. We learned yesterday about Psukim and Daniel that have the ketz of Mashiach in them, and for that reason, Hashem didn't want that. For that reason, Hashem didn't want Yonason and Ben Uzziel to translate Daniel or even any of Ksuvim. So now, talking since we mentioned Daniel, Marshall points out that then the Gemara is going to mention another thing about him as well. In Sefer Daniel, you have a bunch of visions that he saw. You have basically the first half of the Sefer is stories that happened with him during the time that he was in Nebuchadnezzar's and Kodesh's and Dariush's courts. And then the second half of the Sefer is visions of the future, of the four Malchias and a Mashiach and so on and so forth. So at one point, he describes one of his visions. V'ra'isi ani Daniel levadias hamara. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. V'ha'anoshim asher hoyu imi le'ro'as hamara. The men who were together with me did not see the vision. Avol harod gedola nafla aleihem, but a tremendous fear, a tremendous terror fell on them by yivrchu v'heichave, and so they ran away and hid. So first of all, man ninhu anoshim, who are these people that are with him? And the point is, we're not just going to say that there were Stam people. Goin Yaakov on the side over here points out that since if they weren't Bali Nevuah, Bali Ruach HaKodesh themselves, of course they wouldn't see anything. So we have to understand that these are people who are of the caliber of Daniel. You should expect that they could see the vision, but nevertheless they didn't, because it was reserved only for Daniel. So I'm going to be here. This refers to the three Nevi'im who were contemporary with Daniel. So they were Nevi'im, and yet Daniel is saying, almost in surprise, how comes it that they didn't see this vision together with me? So the Gemara points out, Inu adifimine v'ihu odifminayu. In a way, they have an advantage over him, but in a way, he has an advantage over them. Inu adifimine, they have the advantage over Daniel, de'inu nevi v'ihu lav novi. Because they were Nevi'im, he's not a novi. Now, what do we mean by that? Rashi explains, Chagas, Chaya, and Malachi were sent with Nevuos to the Jewish people. Daniel was not sent with Nevuos. He did have visions, and those visions can be considered to a certain extent a type of Nevuah, but he wasn't actually told. He was told to write it down in his sefer. He was never told to go and tell them verbally to the Jewish people, which is the definition of a Navi. The word Navi itself comes from a Shurdish that means to speak, like Bodin Nivsvasayim. So therefore, he wasn't told to speak it out to the people. Therefore, he can't be called a Navi. There is a lot of discussion actually among Rishonim on this point of whether, in fact, here the Gemara is saying that Daniel is not a Navi. Do we mean that he's not a Navi at all? That Rambam talks about in Mor Nevuchim, for example. He explains there are various levels of revelations from Hashem. You have the highest, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Then you have various degrees of Nevi'im. And then he describes that Daniel, all of the visions that he had, we see that it was always a Malach telling him what's going on. So therefore, that's a lesser level of Nevuah, and therefore, in that sense, the Gemara can say about him that he wasn't a Navi. You find then you have even lower than that. For example, you have, let's say, you have several people where it says in where you have in Tanakh where Hashem came to them in a dream and told them such and such. We have Avimelech, Melech Plishtim, for example. We have Lov and Harami. They're obviously not Nevi'im. So there you get to a point already where at such a low level it can't be called Nevuah. They've been given a message from Hashem, but it can't be called Nevuah. So the Rambam says Daniel is obviously on a higher level than that, but still it's not Nevuah. But there are Rishonim who say that Daniel can be called a Navi, just like Rashi is saying over here. He's not the same caliber of Navi as Chagas, Chaya, and Malachi, where they were sent to tell messages to the people, and he was not. Rashi himself, in fact, later on in the Masechta, later on in the Perek, when the Gemara talks about the 48 Nevi'im, and Rashi gives a list over there. So Rashi gives a list, and at first he puts in Daniel. Then he says, you know what, actually, though, we did have earlier in the Perek that the Gemara had said Daniel's not a Navi, so we have to actually remove him from the list. So even Rashi himself, you could say, was less certain whether he should be counted as one of the 48. Anyway, so they're Nevi'im, he's not. The Ihu Odif Minayhu, on the other hand, he has the advantage over them in this particular case, the Iuchazu v'inu leichazu. He saw this vision and they did not. Well, the question is, if they didn't see the vision, my time iva isu, then why were they so afraid and they ran away? What was there for them to be afraid of? And the answer is, afagab de inu leichazu midi, they themselves did not see anything, avo mazalaihu miyo kachazi. But their mazel was able to see it. Rashi explains the mazel means it actually translates as sar sheyesh l'chol adam l'mayla, the sar, the malach that every person has up above, that was able to see. In various places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea. The word mazel comes from the Shodesh nozal, which means flow. So it refers to the Shodesh, to the root of a person's neshama, which is Lamaila, and where all Hashpah from Hashem flows through that. In particular, we talk about you have the levels of Chaya and Yechida of the neshama, which are not enclosed in the body, which are makif all of Milamaila. And those are more what we talk about over here when we talk about the mazel. Similarly, for example, when the Gemara says Ein Mazel Yisrael, you have the famous explanation Apichsidus that it means Ayin Mazel Yisrael, that the level of Ayin beyond anything that we can perceive is the Mazel, is the source through which all Hashpa to Hashem flow from Hashem flows down to us. So the same thing over here, we mean that the root of their neshama perceived that something's going on over here, and therefore that was enough to make them afraid. The same Gemara is also brought in Sanhedrin. Somebody else where it says Mazalai Chazi, or off the top of my head, I can't think of. As far as I know, I mean, the Gemara does mention in a few other places the concept that a person has a mazel at the beginning above a camel. The Mazalai Chazi, as far as off the top of my head, I think is only here and there, yeah. The Gemara mentions, for example, at the beginning above a camel, that a person has a mazel, a behema does not. And there's a few explanations there also in Rishonim what that means exactly. It means that a person has the seichel to be able to understand what's going on, a behema not, etc. There is actually in that connection, though, speaking of the difference between a person and an animal, Rishonim bring, I think, for example, that Ramban brings in connection with the story of Bilam and his donkey. How come it is that the donkey was able to see the malach and the person wasn't, is precisely because of that. Since a person has a mazala, and the Gemara says that he can perceive what's going on, if Bilam had seen the malach, he would have been frightened out of his wits, whereas the behemoth can see it, and it gets nervous because it's standing in its way, but other than that, it can take it in stride because it doesn't really understand what's going on anymore. So Omer Ravina, Shma Mina, you see from that, Hai Manda Mivis, when a person is afraid and he doesn't know why, Afagav Del Iulei Chazi Midi Mazlai Uchazi, it means Mazlai Chazi, it means he himself may not see anything, but his mazel, his sar, his shodesh and neshama, whoever you want to define it, sees that something is going on, that there's some kind of danger threatening him. Mai Takante, so what should he do in order to correct the situation? Likri Krishma. You should say Krishma, we're there. In Krishma, we're saying Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that Hashem is the only power. And therefore, in other words, any mazikin or any harmful forces like that have no ability to get me. In a similar vein, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and in Chulin that mentions that one time there was a certain woman was trying to take dust from under Rav Chanina's feet because she wanted to use that dust for kishuf against him. And Rav Chanina tells her, go ahead and try. Einod milavadik. There's no other power in the world other than Hashem. So your powers have no metzios against that. So in a similar vein, over here, the person says Krishna and recognizes that Hashem is the only power and that he's putting himself in Hashem's power and under Hashem's control. What happens if he's standing in a filthy place where he's also to say Krishma? That was in fact in today's Shalosh Prakim of Rambam, Mashgacha Pratis, talked about this very din that you're not allowed to say Krishma in a dirty place. So then, Linshef, so you can't say Krishma, Linshef Miduchte Arba Amos or Garmidi. Then he should jump 4 amos from where he is. 4 amos is a person's mokum. And we have, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos, where 4 amos is a person's mokum. So therefore, when he jumps out of that, he's jumping into a different place. And then those mazikim don't necessarily have the ability to harm him in that new place. What if he's in a really filthy place, and if he jumps 4 amos, he's going to wind up in filth? Or the Gersa and the printed Gemara is v'i loy, if not. If for whatever reason he can't jump, it could be taka because he is in a filthy place, but it could equally well be because he's weak and can't jump 4 amos or whatever it is. Le mahochi, then he should say the following statement: Easy debate tab for shmeini minoi. The goats by the shlachtoys are fatter than me. In other words, in effect, he's telling the mazikim, go bother the goats and leave me and then leave me alone. Why goats, Dafka? We find that goats are associated more with koichas atumah. That's why a goat was used as a sor la'azazel. You have the expression. You have the expression in the pasuk that used before, just zivchayim la'seirim, that people should not bring their korbanos to seirim, which are goat-like demons. So there's a goat-like shadim. So there's a certain association between goats and koichas atumah. That therefore he's saying, go bother the goats who are part of your domain anyhow, and leave me out. Okay. The Gemara goes on to discuss various other dinim about Kriyas HaMegillah, and so it says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Koyanim Ba'avodasam, the Koyanim in the course of their Avoda, Levim b'duchanim, the Levim who are on the duchan, on the platform in the Beis Hamikdash, singing by the korbanos and playing the musical instruments, the Yisrael b'mamodon, and the Yisraelim who are there for the maimed, which we'll learn more extensively about the maimed in Masechta Tainis when we get to it, Be'ez Hashem, but this is rotating groups of Yisraelim, some of them would have the job of actually standing there in the Beis Hamikdash when the korbanos tzibur are being brought as representatives of the Jewish people. The rest of them, the ones who couldn't make it to Yerushalayim, would gather in their various cities around Eretz Yisrael, and they would have special fasts and tefillahs and everything on behalf of all the Jewish people. So all of them, kolon mevatel avodasan, all of them are mevatel, all of them break off from their avoda, ovoin l'shmoya mikra megillah, and they all come to hear the megillah being read. Now, Tosfos actually discusses over here, it's really not so simple. Why shouldn't we say, okay, so why do they have to be mevatel avoda? They'll do the kriya, and then there'll be time for avoda. So Tosfos says, because the avoda begins right away, as soon as it becomes light in the sky, so then therefore, so yeah, we can call it mevatlin. It's true, we don't mean there's not going to be an avoda that day. We mean they're going to delay it for a half hour or an hour or however long it takes to lay in the Megillah. But nevertheless, that can be called bitul in the sense that there's a period of time when the avoda has to be done, and yet they're doing it, and yet they're doing it this way. So Tosfos says, okay, in that case, let them do the avoda first, and then they'll go hear Megillah. And the answer is, b'roivam hadras melech. It's better they should be able to hear. Apparently, the minhag was that people would hear Megillah first thing in the morning. So therefore, so if they're able to go at that time, first thing in the morning, then they'll be Beroivam Hadras Melech. And therefore, there's more Persume Nisa. Actually, Tosfos doesn't say Beroivam Hadras Melech. There's more Persume Nisa that way. There is actually a good deal of discussion among the poskim on this whole point. When do we say that, when taka do we say? So what happens, for example, let's say it's going to be that if they hear Megillah, there's not going to be time to do the avoda anymore. Some avoda of a korban is going to be missed. Should they do it or not? So the Ramah discusses it, Taz discusses it, whether in fact, in that case, we would say that nevertheless, look, the avoda is daraisa, mikra Megillah is only darabanan. Therefore, maybe the avoda should take precedence, or maybe we would say that, no, nevertheless, the persumin nissa of mikra Megillah takes precedence even in that case. In summary, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that basically the only mitzvah that would override Mikra Megillah would be to bury a mess mitzvah. A person has a mess mitzvah who needs to be buried, and there's also Megillah to be read, then you bury the mess mitzvah, and then within that also you have the machlokas between the Ramah and the Taz on the point about whether does that mean even if you're not going to have time to read the Megillah, or do we just mean that you'll delay Megillah but you'll still have the time to accomplish it before Shkia? One point is that the Noisa Kalim make a point over there. After all, in principle, you could bury the mess by night. Only if we're talking about if for whatever reason you're not going to be able to, once it comes Shkia, let's say, you're not going to be able to bury the mess anymore. Say, for example, because you know you might have, let's say, because of the ghettos in the olden days where the gates are locked at night, you can't get out. So then that would be the kind of thing we were talking about where you may have to prioritize one over the other. Anyway, so the Gemara continues, Mikan Somcho Shal Beis Rebbe. Based on this, the people, the family of Rebbe's household, and that means the Nesi'im in general, came up and supported, were based on this idea, the fact that Shemavaklan Talmud Torah or Boin Lashmoya Mikra Megillah. They would be Mevatel, they're learning Torah and come to hear Mikra Megillah, and they made a Kabachoyim. But Kabachoyim may avoid it. They made a Kabachoyim based on what we just said, that the reading Megillah overrides the avoid. Oma avoida shi chamura Mevatlin, madach the avoida is a very important thing, and nevertheless we're mevatel it, Talmud Torah, like Kolshkin, how much more so that we have to set aside Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah. There is the question that they ask, I mean, isn't the Megillah itself part of Torah? How can we call it mevatel and Talmud Torah? So in fact, one answer is that first of all, there's the travel time, let's say, we may be talking about. We're not just talking about right away opening up the Megillah and starting to lay in. We're talking about, for example, there may be the travel time to get from point A to point B where they're going to lay in Megillah. And meanwhile, you're being mevatel from Talmud Torah while you're traveling, because not always you're going to have the ability to learn on the road. But aside from that, also, there is an interesting point that some Acharonim make. When you're able to learn a more advanced area of Torah, and instead you're doing a less advanced area, like in this case, for example, a person is able to learn Gemara or Shulchan Aruch or Chassidus or whatever, and instead he's setting that aside in favor of Nach, then that can be called, to a certain extent, Bittul Torah. Especially on top of that, especially over here, I mean, we're not really doing it as a matter of Talmud Torah at all. We're not learning the Megillah for the sake of learning Torah. We're learning it for Persum and Yissa, so therefore it can be called Mevatlan Talmud Torah. because we see, for example, that avodah is we see that avodah is doicha all kinds of mitzvahs. We see, among other things, that that avodah is first of all avodah is doicha Shabbos. We see it's also doicha ritzicha. If a kohen is in the middle of doing avodah, for example, and they need him as a witness in Beis Din to testify on somebody's behalf, he doesn't interrupt his avodah. He finishes his avodah first and then he goes in. Okay. Well, the Gemara asked about avodah adifer or chamura mitamut Torah. So you're telling me the avodah is stronger and more important than Talmud Torah? V'hoksiv, we have a pasuk to the contrary, where after we douse in the pasuk, we're going to see how Talmud Torah is more important than the avodah. The pasuk says we have it actually coming up in the, as the haftarah of the first day Pesach. It describes over there the first Pesach the Jewish people made in Eretz Yisrael after 5 days after they had crossed the Yarden. So now the pasuk says by he be Yoshua b'Yerichoy, when Yoshua was in Yerichoy. Now he wasn't in Yerichoy itself actually, because Yerichoy was only conquered after that. This is in Perek Hay of Yoshua, and Yerichoy they conquered in Perek Vav. So this, it means he was in the area of Yericho. The Gemara elsewhere learns from that you see that Ibura Shalir, the area near, the area outside a city, can be considered to a certain extent part of the city. Anyway, so he was there. He lifted up his eyes and he saw, there was a man standing in front of him, and his drawn sword, his unsheathed sword was in his hand, and Yeshua goes over to him and asks, the Gemara leaves out the next words, he asks, "Halonu ata im lutzarenu? Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" Now, the simple meaning is he's asking, in other words, whose side are you on? Rashi, by the way, this Gemara is also brought in Sanhedrin. Rashi points out over there that the Gemara is going to show that this, the Gemara is going to explain that this took place at night. And how do we know it was at night? Because if it was by day, he wouldn't have to ask Halonu ata im lutzarenu. You can tell by the person's uniform whether he was wearing Jewish clothes or whether he was wearing Goyish styles. But because it was by night, he couldn't see him. Anyway, Vayomer loy, and the man says no. Meaning, in other words, I'm not a human being as you think. I'm not on one side or the other. Ki ani sar tzva Hashem. I'm the master of the hosts of Hashem. I'm the malach who leads the army of Hashem. He's malach machol. Ata bossi, I've come now. You have the idea that it says that Hashem had told Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet Ego that my Shechina is not going to lead you anymore. Malach will be leading you. And Moshe says, absolutely not. Then we're not leaving here. And Hashem, so to speak, relented and said, fine, I'll my Shechina will continue to guide you. And now, after Moshe Rabbeinu had passed away, now Malach Machol comes again and says, Ata Bossi, now I've come, and you're not going to be able to get me out. I'm going to help you conquer Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure. By Yipo Yeshua upon of Arza, so Yeshua fell on his face to the ground. By Yishtochu, and he prostrated and bowed to this Malach. The first question is, before we get to the matter of Talmud Torah and Avodah, first we have to ask Vehechi Obed Hachi. How Bechlau could Yeshua do such a thing to bow down to this person at night, and also and to greet him? A person is not allowed to say shalom to somebody else at night. We have to be concerned that this person is not really a person, but rather a shed, and it would be inappropriate. Shalom is a name of Hashem, and therefore it would be inappropriate to use it for a shed. A parenthetical note over here, Rashi mentions, and Rashi also himself mentions it in Sanhedrin, all the more so to bow to him, which would be tantamount to Avodah Zarah, since again, a shed is sometimes worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. So how could Yeshua bow to him and not be concerned about that? And the answer is shiny hosom. It's different in this case. Tosfos, by the way, points out the chashash is only where it's outside the city and at night, like what we're saying at night. Gemara was saying, but Tosfos says also that it would be outside in the city of the city in the middle of nowhere, because there that's the kind of place where shadim are more likely to be. Here, that's where Yoshua was. He's outside Yericho, so he's not in the city. He's also not in Machne Yisrael, so he's someplace out in the fields over there. So then you have to be concerned. Shadim tend to lurk in such places. If you're in the city or you're a place where people are, then there's no problem. So the answer is shiny hosam to ka'omale. The answer is because he tells him, Kiani Sar Tzva Hashem Ata Bossi. He says, I'm the captain of Hashem's host, meaning I'm a malach. So therefore he's not a shed. Well, the question is, Vidilma Shakri Le. Okay, so maybe the shed is lying. As bad as Shadim might be, as much as they represent Kirchas HaTumah, they still recognize the power of Hashem, and they don't, after all, the Gemara mentions in Chagiga, they're like halfway between a Malach and a human being. They don't use Hashem's name in vain. So once he says Sartzva Hashem, then Yeshua knows he can take him at his word, and it's impossible that it would be a shit. Therefore, there's no problem bound. Now that the Malach tells him who he is, he tells him, "Omale Emesh Bitaltim Tomet Shabena Habayim." Yesterday, you failed to bring the Tomet Shabena Habayim for reasons that we'll explain in a minute. But Achsha Bitaltim Talmud Torah, and now at night you've been Mevatel Talmud Torah. So where do we get all this from? Rashi says we don't have that in the pasuk, but based on what the Malach says, then we can understand what the Malach is implying. That he's telling him you did two things wrong. Like this, during the day you should have brought the Talmud Shabbat Habayim because you were too busy preparing for the war and therefore you didn't. And now by night you're compounding that. By now it's nighttime. You should be learning Torah because after all you don't fight at night. Tosfos brings up the point: why indeed did they not bring the Talmud Shabbat Habayim? I mean, okay, they're besieging the city of Yericho. So what? The Kohenim can still bring the Talmud. So Tosfos explains a couple of possibilities. One possibility is that already at that time you had the takana of Ma'amadus that we just said before. The Mishnah in Tainus says that Nevi'im Harishonim, the early Nevi'im, came up with the concept of Ma'amadus. So Tosfos is apparently understanding that the Nevi'im Harishonim includes even Moshe and Yeshua themselves, one or the other of them. So they had already made up the concept of Ma'amadus, that there have to be Yisraelim there watching the Korban being brought as representatives of the whole Jewish people. Here they didn't have that because all the able-bodied men are in the army. They're all besieging Yericho. So it's called Bittul Tamid because Lachatchila you should have them there when you bring the korban. On the other hand, then Tosfos says, Bitaltim Tomet Shemen Abayim seems to imply that they were completely mevatel, not just they did it in a b'dievedik way. So Tosfos says no. What it is because the Oroin was not in its place. The Kohenim were carrying the Oroin around the Psukim described over there in Perek Vav that Hashem told Yeshua every day the Kohenim and the soldiers should go march around Yericho and blow shofaris each time they make one march around the city. And on the seventh day they're going to go around seven times and then the walls are going to sink into the ground. So now and they had to have the Oren with them. The Psukim described they had the Oren with them in this procession. So now the Oren was not together with the Mishkan. So therefore they weren't bringing the Talmud Shabbat Habayim because when the Oren is not with the Mishkan, it's not really a full fledged Mishkan. So therefore they did what now what they should have done is, in other words, late in the day when it's time for the Talmud Shabbat Habayim, they should have brought the Oren back to the Mishkan in Gilgal and then brought the Talmud Shabbat Habayim. And now the Malach is telling Yeshua you didn't do that. The Iyun Yaakov points out as well that there's another based on this that was saying that they didn't put the Oren in they didn't put the Oren back in Gilgal so there's also an addition, as the Gemara is going to go on to point out, it means that also had an effect on the Jewish people being able to have relations that night, because as the Gemara is going to point out in a minute. Omale, so Yeshua says, okay, well, you're telling me there are two things we did wrong. Al Eza Mehem Bosa, which one are you coming to tell us that we're doing wrong and we better fix up? Omale Ata Bosi, he says, I've come now, which means the thing that you can fix up now, the Talmud Shabbat Habayim is a done deal. It's missed. Over Yom Bota Korbanet. But Torah you could learn now. Tosfos has a different pshat in how we see. Now, Rashi had mentioned that we don't actually see in the Malach's words anything about Talmud Shabbat Habayim or Talmud Torah, and we have to assume, Rashi says, because he's telling him, Atabasi, therefore we can reconstruct the whole conversation. Tosfos says actually what it is, to begin with, when Yeshua asks him, Halonu Ata Imotzarenu, what he's asking is, are you coming, because we know we missed both of those things. Are you coming because of Lonu, because of the Korban Tomid, which is primarily for our benefit, as a schus for us, to be mechaper for our Averis, or Lotzarenu, or are you coming because, or the other way around, actually, are you coming Halonu Ata, are you coming for because of Talmud Torah, which is for us, or Im Lotzarenu, are you coming because of the Korban that we missed, and Torah not only is for us, but it says in it Lonu, Torah Tziva Lonu, as opposed to, or did you come primarily because we missed the korban, which is Lutzarenu, which is in order to protect us against our enemies? And he answers, Ata Bossi. So first of all, like Rashi says, it means I'm coming for what's relevant right now. Right now, you could be learning Torah and you're not. But aside from that, also, Tosfos brings the word ata means, or says, va'ata kisvo lachemes ashira azois. So therefore, that's also a hint to Talmud Torah. So it means he's saying, you're asking, halonu ata, are you coming because of Talmud Torah, where it says, Torah tziva lonu Moshe? Yes, ata bossi, because it says, va'ata kisvo lachemes ashira azois. Another point down it is also is that Talmud Torah is a constant obligation, unlike the Korbanos, is only twice a day. So therefore, you can say on Torah more of an atta, it's something for right now, that right now you could be learning Torah and you're not doing. So so he says, atta bossi, al shal atta bossi, I'm coming because of what's going on right now. Miyad, so right away, meaning the next opportunity that Yeshua had to fix up the situation, then the Pasuk says a couple of parakim later, vayolan Yeshua balaylo ahu b'secha om, because of echad omer b'secha amen. A few psukim apart, you have in Perek Ches over there when it describes how they're making preparations for the war against the next city after Yericho. They went and attacked Ai. So the psukim describe over there, you have one pasuk that says, Vayolan Yeshua Balailo Aho B'Selcha'am, Yeshua slept over that night among the people. And then you have another pasuk that says, Vayelach Yeshua Balailo Aho B'Selcha'emek, Yeshua went on that night in the valley. So the Amr Abyechanan Malamach Lon Basaich Unka Shal Halacha means that Yeshua stayed overnight. Lon can mean that he slept, but it can also mean, in other words, that he stayed up the night, he spent his night in the depth of Halacha. So in other words, he, as soon as it was possible for him to fix up the opportunity, that to make sure, yes, during the nighttime, during the daytime, he may be busy preparing for the war, so we have less time to learn Torah, but by night we're not doing that. So therefore he made sure to rectify that at the first possible opportunity and to spend the night learning Torah. The way the printed Gemara actually has the pasuk is by Yolan Yeshua Balailo Ahu B'Secha Emek without part and parenthesis over here, which is actually a combination of two psukim. Tosfos says sometimes the Gemara will do that. Sometimes the Gemara will combine together psukim and daushin them like that and not quote them katsurase. Sometimes the Gemara will quote a pasuk not necessarily verbatim. But that's the idea. In other words, the Emek means not just the valley, it means the depths of Torah. Now, why are we calling that? But why are we calling that Miyad? The fact is that's by the next battle. So the Rif has a long explanation over here. Basically, that he says that, once the Malach comes and tells him, tonight you're not learning Torah, so why don't Yeshua gather everybody together and say, look, tonight we got to start learning Torah. Why is he waiting only for later on? So he explains, in other words, that in a nutshell, he says that that what we're saying is, because at this point, because the Oren is not in its place, and as long as they're involved in the Mohammed, they're potter from Talmud Torah. So now Yosha, once they already started doing things this way, where they're having the Oren with them after every day's circuit around Yericho, then Yoshua can't change things midstream and say from now on we're going to do things differently. But the next opportunity where they're taking the Oren out from the Mishkan to start the next battle is when Yoshua fixed up the situation and made sure that they're learning Torah by night as well. That's why the Gemara calls it Miyad. Ugmiri. Now, the Gemara also points out, now Tosfos points out this next line doesn't really belong in our Gemara. It really belongs in Masechta Eruv. In Eruvin, the Gemara discusses, why is it that Yoshua was not Zoicha to have sons? We find in Divrei Yomim, it mentions the family tree, the lineage down to Yoshua, and it stops there. Why? Because he didn't have sons. Later on, we'll learn that he had daughters. And from those daughters eventually came families of distinguished Nevi'im, but nevertheless, he didn't have sons. Why not? The Gemara there gives a couple of reasons, and one of them is based on the next line over here. Ugmiri, we have the Kabbalah. Shekolzman she'orin shechina shaloibim kaiman. As long as the Orin and the Shechina are not in their proper place, Yisrael asurim tashmish amita, then the Jewish people are also to have tashmish. So again, it doesn't necessarily belong in our Gemara, Tosfos says, because here it's not really relevant over here. But in Eruvin, where it's discussing why he didn't have a son, then there the Gemara is pointing out it's midah keneged midah. He was mevatel the Jewish people for one night from period of Rivia. Therefore, he failed to be able to do the mitzvah of pru or vu himself, which would require him to have a son and a daughter. So again, Ion Yaakov points out actually that there is also the point, in other words, that it's not just that they mevatel Talmud Torah and so forth. He's saying it's not just the Jewish people are at fault over here. They should have told Yeshua, we need to put back the order, and therefore they bear a certain share of the blame as well. Okay, so now the point of all of this is, again, we were talking about where we see the respective importance of Talmud Torah and of Avodah. Well, we see, we see that learning Torah is even more important than boom, the Korban Torah, Chenema Ata Bossi. As we see, the Malach is saying, I'm coming for Ata, where again, Ata means the Torah. In other words, the main thing I'm coming for is not so much that you missed the Avodah, but for the fact that you missed Talmud Torah. So we see that Talmud Torah is more important than Avodah. So now the question is, before we said that the family of Rebbe made a Kal Vachomer. They said if you're Mevatel the Avodah to hear Mikra Megillah, how much more so you should be Mevatel Talmud Torah from Mikra Megillah, because Avodah is more important. Based on this, it comes out the other way around. Talmud Torah is more important. The answer is like Kasha, Hod the Rabbim, Hod the Yochid. The difference is whether we're talking about the Rabbim, and by Rabbim, we mean here the entire Jewish people, as opposed to a Yochid, and Yochid doesn't necessarily mean one individual, it means even a group that doesn't amount to the entire Jewish people. Here it was in the entire Jewish people are failing to learn Torah because they're preparing for the battles, whereas in Rebbe's case, we're talking about his yeshiva, which is a big yeshiva, it's an important place, but nevertheless, it's not the entire Jewish people. So therefore that, they can say yes, that Avodah is more important than that. When it comes to Talmud Torah of the whole Jewish people, then that takes precedence, as we find in the story of Yeshua and the Malach. Okay, the Gemara goes on with various other dinim about Mikra Megillah, one of them being Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Noshim Chayovas from Mikra Megillah, women are Chayav to hear Megillah. Sha'af hein hoyu ba'oisan nes, because they also were in this nest. What does that mean? So Rashi says, because the Gzeira was on everybody, on Noshim, Noshim, Vatas. So women are just as much, benefited just as much from the Ness as men. Tosfos gives a different explanation that the Rashbam says that the main Ness happened through them. We have a similar thing where it says, Aftein Ho Yerboisan Ness, it says a similar thing regarding the Dalad Kosis, that women are Chayev in the Dalad Kosis, it says for the same reason, and also that they're Chayev in Ner Chanukah for the same reason. In each of those three mitzvahs, the Gemara brings the same point, Aftein Ho Yerboisan Ness. So the Rashbam explains, because all those three Nissim happened primarily through women. In the case of Pesach, you had Shifra and Pur, and the Noshim Sidkonius in Mitzrayim. Here you have, it was Esther. In the case of Chanukah, it was Yehudis. However, Tosfos points out that then, what do you mean, af hein ho yerboisan nes? What's the af? It almost sounds like they're tuffle to it. So therefore, Tosfos says that no, what it means is that they were also, like Rashi says, they were also in danger of lahashmid v'laharig, and they were also subjugated to Pari and Mitzrayim, and then Chanukah, the Gzeira was very much on them, because one of the Gzeiras that the Greeks had made was about called Besula Anissus to boil Lahegman, that any girl who's going to get married for the first time has to first submit to the local Goyish officer. So therefore, there was a severe Gzeira on each of them. There is a quite a bit of discussion among Achronim about various ways of for inferring what the Rashbam is saying. If he's saying the point is that the nest primarily happened through them, then Taka, why is the Gemara using the word af? So there's a lot of answers, including that the Gemara means that there's more than one reason. And in fact, there's an essay by Rabbi Yitzchok, the Rebbe's father, that makes that point as well. That the af means that there's a reason, and then there's another reason. So both reasons are true. There's an interesting vote from the Chassam Sofer that says, because in the case of the Noshim Sidkonius, they were such Sidkonius that for them, you can't even say that it was a nest that they were taken out of Mitzrayim. For them, it's basically Derech HaTeva. The way they acted makes it as a natural consequence that they should go out of Mitzrayim. The chiddush is that also for them, it was a nest, and that they were also able to bring out the men as well with their schosim. Rabbi Levi Yitzchok also makes a point over there, by the way, in that essay. He says that b'chlal, we find Torah Shebechsav is associated with the Zohar, and Torah Shebechsav with the Nekeva. We have, when it says Shema B'ni Musar Avicha Baal Titesh Torah Simecha, it refers to Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, respectively. Because Torah Shebechsav is the Mashpia to Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the Makabal, etc., etc. The Alter Rebbe mentions it in Tanya and Igeres HaKodesh. So mitzvahs that are Dirabbanan have more of a connection to women. Therefore, we can say about Dalet Kosis and Megillah and Chanukah, all of which are Dirabbanan, we can talk about more the connection that they have to women, and that's why those things happen through women, and why those mitzvahs are, that women are Mechoyim. With all of that said, though, there are Rishonim who learn that the Gemara, it's not, when you say Noshim Chayovas B'Mikra Megillah, there are Rishonim who have the Girsa, something like Noshim Chayovas B'Shmias Megillah. They're Chayov to hear the Megillah, not necessarily to read it. Tosfos over here discusses, and then various other Rishonim discuss the question then, can a woman be motzi a man in Kriyas HaMegillah? And because of the suffix, they can't. And because of that also, you have the halacha that when you're reading for women and you yourself have already been yotze, for example, when you're reading on Mitzrayim, then you have, if you're reading only for women, then the bracha is lishmo, if the woman is making the bracha, then she makes the bracha lishmoya Megillah rather than our kriyas Megillah. Al Mikra Megillah, rather, because for them, the mitzvah is, according to some opinions, is more the hewing of it rather than the reading of it. Okay. A person has to read the Megillah by night and l'shanoisa by day. Now, the Gemara is going to point out that the l'shanoisa can have two possible meanings. It can mean to repeat it, or it can mean to learn the halachas of it, like Malosh and Mishnah. So first, he says, Shenema, as the pasuk says, Elikai ekra yoimam v'leisane, I call out by day, and this is in Kapitel Chof Beis, I'm going to say Achalayelos HaShachar, which is all about Esther and her experiences. Rashi points out, we learned in Yuma, that it says over there, Ayala Sashacha refers to Esther, and she's compared to an Ayala, and the Nes Purim is compared to Shacha, which is at the end of the night, so the same way this is the last Nes that's recorded in Tanakh. Anyway, so Elikai, David says, and then Esther says in her times, I call out, Ekra Yom, I call out by day, V'loi Sane, and Hashem, you don't answer, V'laila, and by night, V'loi Dumia Li, I will not be silent. So we see, in other words, that the calling out and the asking Hashem for help is for both of them, is both by day and by night. Marashah teaches out, in other words, Elikai Ekra Yomim, I read the Megillah by day in place of Halah. Later on, we're going to learn in the Perek that Kriyasa Zuhi Halela, that reading the Megillah counts instead of saying Halah, which we don't say Halah on Purim. After all, so then it would be proper, Hashem, that you should answer the people right away, but better, you should answer the Jewish people even before, Balayla, even the night before, as in fact we find in the story of Purim, Balayla Rahun Nodana Shnas HaMelech. So therefore, so I'm going to read it by night as well, V'loy Dumi Ali, but I will not be silent, I will not say that's good enough to read it by night, and I don't have to read it by day, no, I'm going to read it by day as well. And Marsha goes on to point out that the Gemara is going to point out another pasuk soon where we learn this from. So first, though, Sava Minala Mikri Balela or the Misna Masnisa Didab Yamam. So the Chachamim thought maybe what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi means with the word L'shanoisa is Maloshin Mishnah. Maybe he meant that you should read the Megillah by night, and then by day, instead of reading it, you should be learning the Mishnayas and the Halachas for it. Now the Torah Evan asks on that. I mean, we have Mishnayos later on in this Masechta that clearly talk about reading the Megillah by day. What's the Havam in it to think that you wouldn't read it by day? So he says maybe the Bnei Yeshiva thought for Ami Ha'aretz who don't know how to learn Mishnayos, then they should read the Megillah by day. Maybe the Taman Chachamim don't need to. But Omer Lahu Rabbi Yirmiyah, but Rabbi Yirmiyah tells them the Didimi Farsha Laminei Rabchiya Ba'aba. Rabchiya Ba'aba personally explained to me that no, the word Lashanoisa does not mean Mishnah. It means going to Amri Inchi is like the expression when people say Ever Parsha Sadav Esnia. Let me learn over this parsha and I will repeat it. So the word Lashanoisa means to repeat it. So it means to repeat the whole Megillah by day. Itma Nami, they said also, a person has to read the Megillah by night and repeat it again by day. In order that my glory, my neshama will sing to you, and not be silent. And this is referring to, Rashi explained, the double expression means by night and by day. I will always thank you. Rashi points out this capital, Arimim Hashem Kidusani, in the Medrash, it darshans that whole capital as referring to the story of Mordechai and Esther and Haman and Achashverosh. Mordechai says, Arimim Hashem Kidusani, that you lifted me up from the sack of Efer that I was in, that my enemy Haman was not able to rejoice over me. And the following psukim all talk about the danger that the Jewish people were in and how Hashem saved us. And therefore, the whole capital refers to that. Marsha goes in much greater detail and explains that both of these capital, both Chof Beis, which is where the pasuk Elikai Ekra Yomim Loisane, and Lamed, which is Arimim Hashem Kedivisani, both of them have many hints in them to the whole story of Purim. In Kapitel Chofdeis, you have Psukim that talk about Esther's experiences when she went into the palace. We learned about that before, for example, with the guards are saying, we'll divide up our clothing among ourselves once Achashverosh executes her. And you have that pasuk, you have that concept mentioned in that capital. She says, Hatzilah mecheref nashim yad kelev v'chidasi hashieni mipi aryeh, which the Gemara explains later was referring to Haman and Achashverosh. And in Kapitel Lamed, you have, among others, for example, Starta Panecha, you hid your face, which was the Hester Panim, that was in the times of Esther, how you see Nivol, and therefore I was afraid, and then in the end, Hashem, you saved us. And Marsha goes in, Barichos, over here, and explains how the Psukim over there in Kapitel Lamed refer to the hint at the whole story of Purim. And it finishes off, Mani's Amercha Chavei, in order that my glory will sing to you, meaning, in other words, that it means it's a becovered dicker way of saying when we have later on Balailo Ahu Nodded Ashnas HaMelech, and it means, so to speak, that Hashem's sleep was disturbed. So it doesn't openly say Hashem's sleep out of covered to Hashem. So Lamani Zamecha Chovid, I will sing to you the Megillah in an honorable way to you, Hashem, speaking about like your sleep was disturbed, so to speak, but speaking about it in a respectful way, Velo Yidem, and I won't be silent the other time when I read it by day, which is the main time of Simcha, Hashem Alekaila Ulamadeka, and I'll sing to you always Hashem, whether you're Hashem, whether you act as Hashem, Midas Arachnim, or Alekaib, Midas Adin, either way, La Ulamadeka. So therefore, we see you laying it twice. Tosfos brings up the point. So if you're laying the Megillah twice, do you say Shechionu on it twice? Tosfos says that yes, because the primary kriya is really by day. The main persuminis is by day. You have to have by night, as we're saying over here, because Belaila v'loy dumiyali. But nevertheless, the day kriya is the more important one. Therefore, you have to say Shechionu. The Rambam, on the other hand, disagrees with that and says you only say Shechionu by night. In Shulchan Aruch, you have the Mechaber and the Ramah have the same argument. And eventually there's the same argument between the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. In the Siddur, the Alter Rebbe writes, like the Rambam and like the Mechaber, that you say Shech Yonu only by night. The Tzemach Tzedek discusses this in one of his Truvas and says, no, that we should follow Tosfos and the Ramah and say Shech Yonu by day, and that's taka what we do. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. So we were learning yesterday about what the Rebbe was talking about, how we can be sure that the Goyim are not going to be exterminated when Mashiach comes. That would be against the Shalom of the Torah. The whole point is Mohammed doesn't really have a place in Torah unless when it's necessary to protect the Jewish people. So now the Rebbe continued, then in that vein, since La'osid Lava, you're going to have still Umas Olam, and they're also going to be in a state of Geula relative to the way they are now. Therefore, as a preparation for the Gola Asidah, we have to work on them and make them ready for the Sakana, the Mamachos Shindal and Yud, by being poil on them to act in a way of the Shevis Yitzhara, by teaching them and encouraging them and getting them to keep the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noyach. So that was during those years in the Uri Mems that Eber was very strongly pushing this whole thing about Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noyach based on that consideration. Continuing Halachos of Shabbos. You have a piece of clothing that you need to put laces into it. An example would be shoes, but an example that he gives over here, for example, would be a certain kinds of pants and things like that. So if you've never put in the belt or the laces or whatever before, a belt without the Rebbe says would be mutter, but laces would be also because tikkun manu, you're fixing up the keli and making it usable for the first time. As far as if it's previously been used and it previously had laces in it, then as long as the hole is not too narrow, so there's not much tircha in putting it in, then you're allowed to. The Alter Rebbe adds a point, though, again, as we learned before about knotting, you can't knot the end of the lace to keep it from coming out. In fact, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, in places where it's normal to knot the end of it after you put it in, then you can't put in the lace to begin with, because then the drawstring or the lace or whatever, because then you may forget and knot. If there's tircha involved, either way, it would be also because tircha like that is not appropriate on Shabbos. Then another halacha, sometimes you have the stitches on a piece of clothing start coming loose and the parts are starting to come apart a little bit. So you pull on the thread to pull the pieces back together. You can't do that on Shabbos. That would be part of the halacha of toifer, of sewing. The Gemara says chayiv chatos, and that's one meaning of it, is when you're pulling on the thread to get the two pieces but to close up the seam.